In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. It's a very difficult topic that we've chosen to cover today. And I don't know how those that are sitting in the back are going to read anything on my PowerPoint. But I thought it would be a lot bigger than that. Maybe it did look on the screen. To start talking about God's will, it's a question that a lot of the time we get asked, and a lot of the youth always ask, as if there's some sort of a prescription. I feel sometimes as if I'm sitting, as if I'm a doctor, and some of you are studying medicine, so they know what it's like. And a patient comes in, and all they want is, I want a prescription. I want to walk out of here, you give me a set of tablets that I will take, and I will know that I will be better. And we kind of try and deal with the will of God with this kind of subjective thought. So you find that a lot of us want to know what God's will is. It's a question that is always being asked. And more relevantly, in my schooling, Abuna, how am I going to go with my HSC? How am I going to go with work? Am I going to get this job? Am I going to get my promotion? More importantly, how's my career going to go? Is my career going to improve? Is this God's will for me to be in this career? Is this God's will for me to be doing this kind of work? Is it God's will for me to work on Sundays? Is it God's will for me to do this and that? And more importantly, is it God's will for this person to be my friend? I have put mate there in the PowerPoint. But more commonly, is it who's my wife going to be? And who's my husband? Is it God's will? Is this person my future partner? Abuna, is it God's will that I am with this person? Or is it God's will that I am with this woman? And there are some of us that look for that prescription and they come and they say, Abuna, you know what? I opened the Bible randomly 3 times. And Abuna, you won't believe what happened. The 3 verses that my eye fell on every time I opened the Bible randomly were telling me, take that job. I'm sure that this is God's will. And then you have those that have a globe in front of them and they start spinning it and stopping it. That's where God wants me to go. Abuna, I spun the globe 3 times and guess what? My finger landed on Dubai. I need to find a job in Dubai. That's where God wills for me to go. And there are those that sometimes come and they say, when I was praying and I heard this little voice in my ear saying to me, she is the person you're looking for. I actually heard her name in my ear while I was praying. But the question is this how we find the will of God? Is this what the will of God is all about? And if it's not, what is the will of God? And how do we find it? And more relevantly today, we're going to talk about work and service. And it's funny that these two come together, because these two actually are, thank God I don't have to talk about my future partner. That'll leave that to one of the other abunas. But work and service, they always tend to be at two ends of the spectrum. One is always pulling from the other, depending on how we approach what God's will is in our life. The problem with trying to understand God's will is that we always want God's will to be our will. That's usually what the problem is. Saint Ephraim the Syrian says something to us. In the measure to which a man cuts off and humbles his own will, he proceeds towards success. But in so far as he stubbornly guards his own will, so much does he bring to harm himself. The problem is not what God's will is. The problem is what your will is. That is where the problem always stands. Because I always want things to occur according to what I want.
God knows that I want this so much. God only wants what's best for me. Therefore, it has to be this, because this is what I see today as good for me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, St. Paul says to us, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If I misunderstand what the Lord's will is, I am becoming unwise. And in that misunderstanding occurs when I want His will to be mine. And when it's not mine, we come and we complain and we mourn and Abuna, God is so difficult. God, I don't believe that God exists. Because if He exists, He would have given me that job because that was the best thing that could have happened to me. I don't think that God exists, because if God exists, He wouldn't allow this and that happen to me when He knows how much this means to me. God does not exist because He is not giving me what I want. His will suddenly seems to not agree with mine. So how do I find God's will? I'm going to give you six. We're going to look at six things, six points that we need to understand before we can understand what God's will is in our life. The first, we need to understand that everybody has a calling. Each of you have a calling. And believe it or not, it is a religious calling. Some will say to me, oh, no, we're all going to become priests and nuns and monks now. We all have a calling. And that calling is actually to serve God. This is what His calling is. We are to serve God and we are to serve fellow human beings around us in some form of life which God Himself wills. This is the first and most important. His will is for you to serve Him. And in the process of serving Him, yes, we have to serve some of those that are around us. Whether we are in a monastery or whether we are in the world, your calling is to serve. Every morning when you read your Agbeya, you find an Agbeya, oh, can I just borrow Agbeya? An Agbeya in the first hour. Something you all read every morning, it must be really boring. In the actual introduction, we say the Pauline from Ephesians 4, 1 to 5. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to lead a life worthy of the calling with which you were called. Worthy of the calling with which you were called. This is what you read every morning in your morning prayer. Your calling is to be sons and daughters of Christ. And to be sons and daughters of Christ, you need to serve God and you need to serve the rest of the world or your fellow human beings in some form, which is your work. I'm going to post to you a challenge right at the end, and I'm hoping that most of you can work out what the challenge is. The second thing that we all have to understand is that everyone has the same calling. We don't have different callings. We all have the same calling, and that same calling is, one, to serve God, two, is to be the saint, to be a saint. Abuna, at the end of the liturgy, when he says, the hollies are for the holy, you are the holy. That's what it means. In Arabic, it's al-Qudsat lil-Qudisin. Qudisin means saint. The holy means saints. We are called to be saints, to be holy as God is holy. To be perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect. This is what your calling is. And we all have that same calling. You read it in Romans 1:7. You read it in 1 Corinthians 1:2. You read it in 2 Peter 1:15. And you read it in Matthew 5:48. They're all telling us that we are called to be saints and to be perfect like God is perfect. The third thing that we need to understand is that everyone has his or her unique calling. Abuna, that just contradicts the previous point. You said we all have the same calling. Yes, we have the same calling, but there is a unique aspect within that calling that is unique to us. You're all called to be saints, but each person is called to do this in his or her own unique way. You're all called to love as He loved, being Christ. You're all called to know as He knows, to serve as He serves, that is Christ, to live as He lives. This is our calling. But each will do it in his or in her own specific manner, according to the conditions and the means that God gives you, and the talents that God gives you. To whom much is given, of him much will be required. There are those of us that will be given talents and will be given gifts. And according to these gifts, we need to fulfill the calling, which is serving God and living a life of holiness. And there are those of us that don't have as many talents and as many gifts, but you are expected to use these talents and these gifts to fulfill your calling, which is to be a saint, to live trying to fulfill the will of God. Four, and that's probably the most important out of the six, is that we all need to have the will to find God's will in our life. We need to have the will, we need to have the need, we need to know that we want. We need to try and discover the will of God, and to do and to do it is the pure desire to see, to hear, and to understand, and to obey. And we need to understand that God does the rest. This is what's probably the pinnacle aspect of trying to find God's will. Is that a lot of the time I'm trying to do it myself. Abuna, I've done everything. I've done this and this and this, and somehow I don't understand what God's will is in my life. As if it's me that is going to figure it out. No. It is essential for you to seek it with all purity, to seek it with all your heart, with all your mind. And it is essential to understand that this, the rest is done by God. God does the rest and He provides the rest. One of the verses that actually happens to be today's gospel, he said that the people had eyes but did not see, had ears but did not hear, did not want to hear, had minds but refused to understand and be saved. This is actually from today's gospel. Those that attended the liturgy today will find that this is the gospel, that from the reading of the gospel today. Yes, they were present around the Lord. Yes, they went and attended his teachings. Yes, they saw miracles occur before them. But what God was teaching wasn't in line with what they wanted. Therefore, their eyes were blinded. Not because they could not see. It's because it did not meet the desire. It did not meet their needs. In today's gospel, you've all heard and read today that a lot of the Pharisees and a lot of the leaders believed, but they did not want to follow him. Why? Because they were worried about being expelled from the synagogue. To be expelled means that they'd have to continue a life of poverty, because that means that no one in Israel was going to deal with them. There was going to be nobody that would buy or trade or do. Being exiled is as good as being this guy no one talks to. So the whole of Israel would not talk to him. That means he's just condemned himself to poverty for the rest of his life. One of the saints, St. John Chrysostom, says to us that they were slaves to the world. And one of the other church fathers, which I think was St. Augustine, said that they were slaves to the opinion of the people around them. We become like that. We become slaves to the world. And we become slaves to the opinions of those around us. And because we are slaves to the world and slaves to the world around us, we become blind and deaf. And because we are blind and deaf, we're always confused and we don't know what God's will is. Why? Because we want it to fit in this world. We want God's will to be that we can enjoy the riches and the power of us being Pharisees and us being scribes, which is what was happening at the time. They wanted to follow Christ, but they still wanted to keep their positions. They still wanted to keep their power. They still wanted, most and foremost, keep their possessions and their treasures. One of the most famous, one of the most important, not famous, meeting that we see in the gospel is that of the rich man. The rich man, we're told, if you look through the three gospels, that he was a leader. He was rich, and St. Mark describes that God loved him, Jesus loved him. But what was the problem of the rich young man? This rich young man was the reason that St. Anthony became who he became. Because it was his gospel that St. Anthony heard when he walked into the church. He came to Christ and he said to him, how do I attain the kingdom of heaven? For Christ in his love says to him, okay, obey the commandments. He says to him, which commandments? Christ says to him, do not steal, do not, do not, do not. And he answers Christ and he says, I have fulfilled all of them. I have fulfilled them all. And by the way, Christ says, yes, you have. Because he then says to him, but you are missing one thing. He says to him, ya wazak in Arabic or in English, you are missing, you need one thing. What did the young man need? He needed to go and sell everything and come carry his cross and follow him. Then what does the gospel say to us? He left sad. He was saddened when he heard these words. Why? Because Christ saw the problem of this young man. He saw that this young man was a slave to his possessions. He was a slave to his possessions. He loved his possessions. He loved the ability to depend on his own strength. And this is what a lot of us do. A lot of us are addicted to our possessions, and unfortunately, a lot of us worship our possessions as if our possessions are the only way or can guarantee provision for us. And this is why we worship it, and this is why we're addicted to it. The young man wanted to depend on his possessions. He couldn't let go of these possessions to depend on God. And this is really the struggle that occurs inside each of us. How do I let go and depend on God when my mind says to me, this is what needs to happen? Where is the point, Abuna, when we stop thinking and start depending on God? And where is the point when I'm actually being lazy and not thinking and blaming God because I'm saying I'm depending on God, but I'm actually being lazy and not doing enough to reach my goals? How do we find the balance between dependence on God and involvement in this world? And this is the challenge that I put you at the end. To find what our vocation is, we need to really want to do so. And it sounds simple, and it is. Unfortunately, a lot of us make it hard for ourselves. Our own Lord says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, few there be who find it. There are a few that have found it, but there are those who do find it. And you are these few. Why? First, it takes courage to allow God to speak, or rather, to actually allow ourselves to heed the Lord when He speaks and to follow Him. It actually takes a lot of courage to stop depending on the things that we have depended on all our lives. It is hard. It is hard to stop depending on myself, to stop depending on the money. It's hard to give all your money away and have nothing with which you could buy food tomorrow. It is hard to have the faith that tomorrow you will find money to buy food. It is very difficult. But to do so, you need that courage. And it's not just difficult, it's also painful. Why? Because our own will has to go. Our own will is always standing in the world. And most importantly, almost unfortunately, our egocentric desires must be denied. It's these desires that kind of motivate our will, and both together end up standing in our way. Our ideas about who we are have to be abandoned. Our ideas about who we want to be also need to be abandoned. Our personal plans, our projects have to be discarded. And finally, our agendas of action have to be thrown away. This is the problem, is that we want to be in control. Whereas if you really want to be in control, you don't want God's will. If you want God's will, you want God to be in control. And if God is in control, it is not your own agenda or your own will or your own ideas or your own desires. How? We have to say to God, speak, Lord, your servant is ready. Like Samuel did in the Old Testament. We have to respond to God by saying, let it be to me according to your word. So Mary didn't question the angel at all. That's how she became the mother of God. Whereas we are continuously questioning God and questioning things that happen in our lives, and we have to mean it. I hear it a lot when people say, if it's God's will, I'm happy. And then you see just the whole world basically is turning around for that specific thing that this young man wants or this young woman wants. And you can just see it so clearly that this is not God's will. And I come back crying. Abuna, it's not happening. And I said, but you said if it's God's will, let it happen. You actually prayed, you asked God. And I can see God's interference. You can see miracles happening. You can see something that is amazing. I'm sure she is mine, or I'm sure she is his. Why? Because I say it, but I don't mean it. I want to mean it, but I don't mean it because I love my own plans. I love my own desires. I love my own plan of action that I've put together that I want to be fulfilled. If we do, we will find our way. But if we fight it and keep craving the things that we want, we will be miserable and unhappy. And this is why a lot of us become miserable and unhappy. Why? Because we want our way. And sometimes that way of ours is actually not good for our salvation. His will is for all of us to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. That is what His will is. And if something stands in our salvation, it is not going to be granted. In His love, He's not going to allow it for you. Therefore, when it doesn't happen, I end up being miserable and unhappy and blaming Him for everything that has gone wrong in my life. Father Thomas Hopko quotes this amazing quote, and it says, "For the heart of the human person is made for God, for truth, for love, for life itself, and not for mere existence, and is inevitably unsatisfied, frustrated, confused, distressed, angered, bored, until it comes to rest in Him." No matter how hard you try and satisfy yourself with the world, you will always be unsatisfied, frustrated, confused, distressed, angered, and bored. The only satisfaction occurs by finding God in your life and finding His will in your life. I remember as a young man when we were growing up, Bamusa used to come to us in all his conferences. He used to say this very, very famous drawing that he used to always draw for us on his in the camps. He used to draw a triangle. And he used to say to us, a human being has a mind, a soul, and a body. We are triangular beings. And the world is round. And if we try and fit the whole world inside ourselves, what's going to happen? There's going to be three voids. There's going to be three empty. The world, in all its power, is never going to satisfy us. It'll probably satisfy the center of us, most of it, but there's always going to be voids. And because these voids are not filled, you're always going to be frustrated. You're always going to be frustrated. And then he used to say to us, but God is like us. He's triune. And because He's triune, He's the only one that can satisfy the full of the human person, our fullness. And in finding God, we find our satisfaction and we find our rest. Those who desire, this is one of the saints. This section was amazing when I was preparing. Saint Porphyrius, I was worried about pronouncing it because I thought I pronounced it wrong, in a book called Wounded by Love. He says, "Those who desire and crave to belong to Christ and who abandon themselves to the will of God become worthy. It is a great thing, all important, to have no will. The slave has no will of his own." And this is who we are. And this is what we have to remember. This is what St. Mary said in her response to the angel. "Behold, the maid servant of the Lord." Not just the servant, the maid servant. There's a difference between a servant and a maid servant. Do you guys know what the difference is? In the time of Christ, the servant had the ability to keep saving up to buy back his freedom. The maid servant didn't have that ability. He had given up his freedom willfully to stay a servant for his master. And this is what she said. Maid servant means that I have willfully given up my freedom to be your daughter forever. And it is possible for us to have no will of our own in a very simple manner, through love for Christ and the keeping of his commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. John 14:31. Effort is required, for we have to wrestle against the rulers of darkness of this age. We have to wrestle with the roaring lion. We cannot allow the devious enemy to prevail in this struggle. The fact of the matter is, trying to turn off your own will inside you is a struggle. Why? Because you are struggling against the rulers of darkness of this age, and you are wrestling with a royal arm. This is what the devil is around. This is why he keeps giving us new things to distract us. He's become a master of it. He is the best at stealing time. That's his job, to steal your time. And in stealing your time, he gives you no opportunity to spend any time with your Creator, with God. And this is what our struggle is against a devil that has thousands and thousands and thousands of years of experience. And he is the one that's always trying to flame up your own will and your own desires inside you all the time. And this will and these desires are what's making you frustrated, needing to find the will of God in your life. And therefore, brings us to point number 5. We need help on the way. It's not something that you can do on your own. We need first and foremost and for all the help of God himself. And we need to seek it and we need to ask for it. This means that we have to pray and to participate in the mystical life of God's church. And this is the only way you're going to be granted that help. It is a grace, it is a gift that God grants us, but he grants those who are living in him. If you don't live in Christ, how are you going to partake of this help? Christ said to us, Matthew 7:7, ask and you will receive. To ask, I need to know who to ask. To ask, I need to be able to stand in the presence of him whom I can ask. To ask, I need to have a relationship with the person that I'm asking. And this can only occur through me spending time in prayer and spending time in the life of the church. The church is nothing but all of us together. We are what makes the church. And therefore, I need to be part of that church. I need to be a member in that body, which is the body of Christ. And once I'm a member inside the body of Christ, I can ask him and I can guarantee you that you will receive. The Apostle James reminds us that if we do not ask rightly, we will not receive. So the other side to it is, I need to ask for that which is good for me. If I ask for the wrong, I'm not going to receive it. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. What that means is that sometimes we ask for our own will. I need to ask for his will, not my own. I need to ask for him to give me what he sees good for me, not what I see good for me. To find God's will, we will have to pray to God to show it to us and to guide us into it for his sake and ultimately for our own. The second thing that we need help with is we also need help that comes through others. This is where the church comes in place. This is where we need the guidance of those who are experienced in his ways, most particularly our fathers and mothers in the faith. The church saints around you, they can also help. And it can help. This is one of the reasons that the church continues and insists on reading the Synaxarium during the Liturgy of the Word. Because their life becomes a light to us. The way they completed their strife and the way that they were in God and with God becomes an example for us to follow. And we need their help. And we also need to help the help of the fathers in the church. All of us will have confession fathers who are our spiritual guides that can guide us spiritually to decipher what is good for us and what is not good for us. Ask your fathers and they will show you, your elders, and they will teach you to hear God's voice, to discern His desires for us, to discover His purpose for our lives. We need the help of those who have found Him. Finally, we must be faithful where we are. This is probably the most difficult. One of the greatest obstacles to the discovery of one's own vocation in life, which is a clear expression of our disobedience and self-will. One of the greatest obstacles to the discovery of one's vocation in life, which is clear expression of our disobedience and self-will, is the desire to be someone else, someplace else, sometime else. As we say here in Australia, the grass is always greener on the other side. Always looking at what is not ours. Always looking at the others. And one of the things I hate the most, especially during confession, someone comes to me and says, "Abuna, but everybody's doing this." And I say to people, "So if everybody's speeding, you're going to speed and then expect to get away with it? Why don't you stand the next time that you get caught for a speeding fine and you say to the cop, 'I'm sorry, everybody else was speeding.' What's he going to say to you? 'Not my problem. You were speeding. Therefore, you're going to get fined.'" Like I said to you right at the end, I was going to put a challenge for you. I don't know if you can read this or not. Can you? Does that make it better? Tabqais. This is, if I can make these five circles, this is who we are. Okay? This is me. This circle is what I love. And this circle is what I'm good at. And what I love and what I'm good at makes up my passion. I'm passionate about the things that I love and I'm actually very good at. Okay? And this is what I get paid for. Okay? And what I love, what I'm good at, and what I get paid for becomes my profession. However, this is what the world needs. And what the world needs and what I get paid for becomes my work. Okay? Can you see where I'm going? And this is what I love and what the world needs. And where they meet becomes my vocation. Am I correct? Your aim in life. But where they all meet becomes my purpose. And if I could say, the will of God in my life. But the biggest question I want to ask is, where does God fit in all this? Where does God fit in this life of yours? Because a lot of us try and parachute God straight in here. And say, "Abuna, he's part of my purpose." You know what? No matter what you do, if you try and parachute him in there, things don't work. Why? Because everything is dictated by what you love, what you're good at, what you get paid for, and what the world wants. And if it's dictated by that, you'll find that if you don't love God, He can't make it into your will. And if you're not good at your relationship with God, He's still not going to be there. And if you don't get paid for it, He's also not going to be there. And if the world doesn't need Him, which is the world that we live in, He can't be there. Therefore, the fact of the matter is, trying to find God's will in the absence of God is not going to happen. Therefore, for you, for this to happen, we need one big circle around these four circles, and that needs to be God. Everything needs to be inside God. And if everything is inside God, you'll find that your service and your work will be according to His will and not yours. Glory be to God forever. Amen.